Hello, and welcome to Gilead. I'm Rebecca Anderson, one of the pastors, and I'm so glad you found us. This Lent, our theme is Punks Not Dead, Stories of What Refused to Die. March 5th, 2023, Mary Taylor preached with the claim that comedy's not dead, and that maybe it's almost never too soon to laugh. Possessor of one of the truly great laughs of Gilead history, and maybe human history, here's Mary Taylor.
My mom has always been an emotional person, sensitive. As such, she often sticks out amongst her brothers and sisters. My mom's family have always been the type to definitely just always give you the shirt off of their back, but just don't talk about it. All the mushy-gushy stuff can just leave. Just accept the damn shirt and move on. Everything else can remain unsaid. So when my grandma was in hospice care, I was shocked to see my aunt break down. Just for a couple seconds. Blink and you would have missed it. As quickly as it came, she laced herself back up and she was her business casual self once again. There was something about grandma's week-long hospice care before passing, though. Though she was actively dying, all of us feeling the feelings that people feel when a loved one is dying, the room was filled with laughter. And I suppose if a family is going to collectively agree to just ignore all of the bad emotions like sadness and chalk up anger to, well, I'm just not going to talk to that person I'm angry at ever again, obviously, then I suppose they do have to channel that somewhere, and my family, I guess, chose humor. In the week leading to my grandmother's passing, I couldn't help but feel okay, I think. Every day as we carpooled to the hospital at 7:30 in the morning, making the familiar trek to Titus Donuts in Lebanon, Indiana, shout out Lebanon, Indiana, before getting on the highway and making our way to the room where we'd stay until visiting hours were over, and I felt okay. If I'm honest, it felt like a regular family gathering, like we were just waiting for hot dogs and hamburgers to get done off the grill of the family cookout. Only it smelled much more sanitized, and well, there was a lady dying in the next room, whatever. Minor details. But the way we laughed and shared stories and laughed some more, it felt warmer than the cold fluorescent lights of the hospital are supposed to feel. At Grandma's wake, the night before her funeral, Mom had broken down a few times, the room freezing as she gasps why into the air. Mom was always the more sensitive one, but honestly, I would just call that a regular, healthy release of emotion, but who am I? Because the others were so buttoned up, she stuck out. At the funeral the next morning, my uncle sat beside my mom and me. Her brother was always someone who, well, shall we say, I don't think affection is necessarily in his dictionary of words he frequently uses. He likes sports and beer. I'm sure he likes beer. And sports. I don't know if I mentioned sports, but he does like sports. Anyway, he's not one to show a lot of emotion, a lot of affection. So imagine my surprise when, as the priest was giving the funeral service, I heard him lean over to Mom throughout the entire thing. Jackie always had a smile on her face, the priest would say. Well, he's clearly never met Mom, my uncle would say. My grandma was kind of more of a stern woman. And even more shocking, my mom, through her tears of mourning, was bubbling with laughter. The kind of laughter that happens when you're supposed to be quiet in class, but your friend keeps making funny faces at you, but you can't laugh because it's freaking inappropriate because it's a fucking funeral. So you have to keep it together. My cold uncle making my mom laugh during their mother's funeral service was definitely not on my bingo card for that evening. Psalm 30 says, "You turned my mourning into dancing. You peeled off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. O God, I will give thanks forever." The laughter during mourning is a particular genre of laughter. It's a kind of relief. It brings a kind of relief more than anything, a balm the ice water after a full day of working outside in 90-degree weather, or a hot shower after shoveling snow in negative gazillion degrees. The one that says, maybe I can make it after all. It's rebelling against the notion that all is lost. Obviously, I hesitate to say, see, my mom laughed at a funeral, and so can you, because I don't actually recommend laughing at a funeral. I don't know if you've been to one of those, but they're pretty somber. And this is not like a girl boss summit where we all learn to just plaster smiles on our face and laugh at horribly inappropriate times. To say that mourning is not necessary or crying is not necessary. Well, mourning is obviously necessary, as is crying. These are human things that need to be felt even when we don't want to feel them. But just as necessary and something that we can't help but bookend mourning with is laughter. In the 1930s, at a particular peak of anti-Semitism, Groucho Marx was inquiring about getting a membership at a country club. The country club had a no Jewish people policy, but had said that they would make an exception for Groucho, except he just wasn't allowed into the pool. To this, he said, well, my daughter's only half Jewish. Can she wade up to her knees? For as long as humans have roamed the earth, there have been other humans making fun of the fact that humans are roaming the earth. It's a fact of life, as sure as taxes and death. Comedy and laughter in general is a big middle finger to the status quo and of power structures in general. A big highlighter pointing out the absurdity of existence and the stupidity of oppressors. This idea of using comedy as a way to protest, to resist evil in the world, goes as far back as humanity itself. The ancient Greek play Lysistrata being anti-war, the albeit heteronormative nature of the women refusing to have sex with the men until they stop the war, all the while wearing and holding rather phallic-looking objects, just to tease the men a little bit, show them what they're missing. Or the Great Dictator, a movie with Charlie Chaplin, making fun of Hitler while Hitler was actively in power. Or drag queens, making fun of the idea that of the gender binary that society keeps a stronghold on. Comedy is resistance, and resistance to the notion of hierarchies or systems of oppression. When Jesus said, I say if someone hits you across the face, turn the other cheek. Now, the middle of the road Christian that reads this might say that this is just Jesus saying, hey man, peace, love, we're pacifists here. And sure, that's definitely a strong form of resistance as well, not dogging on that, obviously. But I wonder if he's actually saying that. I'll just stand here and take it? Or is he proposing a rather like funny comedy bit? As the youngest in my family, I'm a professional annoyer. Like truly, I should actually get paid for it. I'm incredibly good at annoying people, especially my brother. The thing where we're sitting in the back seat of the car and I'm holding my finger inches away from his face being like, I'm not touching you. I do that constantly. Or something that, or me doing something that I knew I shouldn't be doing. And then Andy joins in just in time for mom to see him do it, but not me. And he gets in trouble. Iconic. My best work. So tell me this isn't kind of like that behavior. The notion of Jesus saying, oh yeah, you're gonna hit me? Okay, here, let me help you out. Let me help you out with that. It gives the person pause at the very least. And isn't that not slightly hilarious? I recognize I'm taking a huge risk here tying in this classic Jesus quote with and saying that it's part of Jesus's tight 10 at an open mic night. But the physical bit is funny. This is specifically not a passive stance he's taking here. And comedy itself is not passive. It's the oppressed, the marginalized, the working class, the powerless, turning the other cheek and saying, oh yeah? Well, let's see how actually dumb you can make yourself look here. Laughter in the face of mourning, or comedy in the face of tragedy, these are forms of resistance, this fighting back. It's an active, powerful thing that's been moving and shaking things since human history began. And laws have been proposed, some passed, to try and silence different variations of the art of comedy, but we turn the other cheek, laugh in their face, and point out just how stupid they are. When Andy and I were growing up, my dad was a disciplinarian. So when he got home from work, Mom would tell him just how bad we were, about how we weren't listening or we were fighting or anything else that siblings get up to. And while Dad was giving us a stern talking to, Mom, 9 times out of 10, would be behind him, pointing and laughing at us, trying to make us laugh, which would only make Dad even more angry. And so by the end, Dad was just like, oh, never mind. And we'd all just be rolling on the floor laughing. And that's what comedy is. Hear me out. If tragedy is looking in the mirror, comedy is always over its shoulder making funny faces and trying to get it to laugh. I stole that line from Vice's documentary, Too Soon, Comedy After 9/11. I did not make that up. Sorry, I'm not that smart. A documentary that asks, when is it too soon to laugh again? Tragedies, whether global or personal or systemic, trips us up, makes us fall. They can lead to a spiral of, will we ever get out of this again? Comedy offers a hand and says, fuck yeah, we will. Let's show them who's boss and turn the other cheek and let's see what they've got. And it's foolish at times, but it's vital and necessary, and it's simply not going away. As long as tragedy exists, comedy also exists. You turned my mourning into dancing and clothed me in joy. Mom laughed at her mom's funeral because, and I know this is a little too soon for the Lenten season, but not everything dies in the face of death. Laughter reminds us that we're still going and that there's still a fight to be fought. And that we can continue on to fight another day, laughing in the face of those who say it's not allowed, who say, you can't change shit. Oh yeah? Well, we'll just see about that. If I had planned ahead, sorry, I just got excited for this bit that I had planned. If I had planned ahead, I would have thought to buy a clown horn to punctuate this. So instead, here's a... If YouTube didn't let me down, it did. Pretend that I am playing a bit from Tignataro's clown horn. So this is my horrible impersonation of Tignataro's clown horn. Here we go. Thank you.